Before we're going to begin, this is the Wednesday night meeting for those listening on the podcast. October 30th at Topeka, and it snowed and it's 32 degrees today. Isn't that something? I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth and have a new experience. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. So I'm excited we have some new people and some I haven't seen for a while. It's Wednesday night. We're on steps 6 and 7. We got the page 76 in the big book. And the two steps, the steps 6 and 7 are there in two paragraphs. So we've looked at that. We're not going to read from the big book. The handout I gave you is from this book, Drop the Rock, which is removing our character defects. For those who are new in the program, you say, well, boy, I'm just new. What am I going to get out tonight? Well, hopefully you'll see that staying sober is not the answer. Staying sober just means you're not drinking or using, but you're still left with you and your thinking and your self-centeredness and your character defects. And until you learn a way of living so that you're dominated by God-centered thinking and your actions reflect that, nothing's going to change. You'll get angry, you'll get irritable, you'll get restless and fearful. And if you're a real alcoholic or addict, you'll use again. Or else you'll just be miserable. I suggest if we stay sober that we try to find a life of joy and peace, right? And step 6 and 7 is how we learn all day long how we change the way we see things so we're not disturbed. Anybody want to learn how to do that? Good. And this is a step 6 and 7 that you work all the time. Now, if you've gone to a lot of discussion meetings, I can't remember the last discussion meeting where they actually discussed this. The big book only has two paragraphs, so people say you say the prayers and then, you know, whatever's removed is removed and whatever isn't isn't. But that's not how it was intended in the big book. It was intended that you work steps 1 through 5, and when you do your steps 4 and 5, you see your life. You see your resentment and your fear and your harmful conduct. And then you see how that wasn't caused by anything out there. It was caused from inside of you, from being self-directed. And when you're self-centered, your character reflects it. Now, I didn't have any cards for the new guys, I'm sorry, but we have, anybody have a card we can show them? A spiritual checklist is our character defects. I'm selfish, I'm dishonest, I'm inconsiderate, I'm self-centered, dishonest, impatient, intolerant. There are a whole bunch of character defects. And I could see that they dominated my life because I was in self. Anybody else have character defects? Well, guess what? You come to AA, they don't go away. The character defects don't go away until we work 6 and 7, which is the action to change my character all the time. Anybody get afraid at all today? Well, you got afraid because you're relying on self. So when I have fear, I have to stop and say, I'm afraid now because I'm relying on me. God, remove my fear and direct my attention to how I should be. Yeah, anybody get angry or judgmental or intolerant, impatient? When you do, you say, God, I don't want to be this way. Change me. Let me be loving, tolerant, kind, considerate. So we're in Drop the Rock. This is the second week, and we're on this introduction, and it's great stuff. We're on XVI. Introduction page XVI. It starts with, for another insight. Now, I went to meetings for 5 years before I found Joe and Charlie, and my life was really better. Well, I wasn't drinking and using, and I was trying to be a loving, kind person and the best person God created, but I hadn't worked the steps out of the book till I listened to Joe and Charlie and understood them. And then, when I got to 6 and 7, they said, this is the steps that change. This is the ones that change your personality. And I don't want to be the person I was. And when you get to steps 6 and 7, you can't blame anybody else for your day. It's a son of a bitch, isn't it? You have to take responsibility for how you feel and act. And only you can change with God's help. So it says, reading Drop the Rock, everybody see where I am, is a way of getting into the principles behind the 6 and 7 steps. Not only for understanding, but for action. The 6 and 7 steps are steps in action. Oh, by the way, put money in the basket. If you don't have any, fine. If you do, give more than a dollar. If you only have a dollar, fine. We have to pay rent now, so. We'll be looking at a number of ideas and examples of how men and women have made positive changes in their lives by working these steps and by showing up at meetings to tell others of their experience. After doing our fifth step, many of us were directed to go home and read the 2 paragraphs in the big book on the 6 and 7 steps and then to do the steps. Now, there's a hint. To get the 6 and 7, you have to do 4 and 5. And to get the spiritual awakening that changes you, you have to work steps 1 through 11 and live in step 12. So just coming to meetings won't change you. The reason you go to the meetings is to find someone who can take you through this book and work these steps. And for those new people, if you haven't found somebody, we have people here who can help you. Who wouldn't want to be rid of these defects of character, especially after about talking about them in the inventory process? We uncovered a list of pain and agony, and then we shared it with another person in God. Of course, I want to be rid of these character flaws and habits. So we pray to let our defects go and humbly ask God for help. Sounds good, doesn't it? We thought we had done the 6 and 7 steps, and that was that. And I wrote, nothing changes if nothing changes. And 6 and 7 is not just prayer, but action. And 6 and 7 are in the chapter Into Action. And if you read step 10 carefully, you realize it's basically doing steps 6 and 7 all day long. And then at night, it says in step 11, we inventory our day. Look at how well you did 6 and 7. Where were you staying in your character defects? Where were you practicing the opposite? Now, the original people who wrote this book in 1939, they had these cards they carried around, and they had a list of their character defects on one side and the characteristics of God on the other. And during the day, they'd go and they'd check whenever they were on one side or the other. And then they would share that when they got together. And so it was understood that this was something you were supposed to be doing. And they had the little red book, I think, that they put out. And the original one, Dr. Bob, had these charts in them. So then it says, then down the road, we started having the same difficulties and issues arising from the same defects that had plagued us before. So if you still have selfishness and you're sober, you're going to have a self-centered life, right? And how's that going to work? We may not have practiced them or noticed them quite so much after doing a fifth step, but they returned with a force that scared and surprised us. People who come to AA, they work the steps, and then things start getting sour for them. And he says, so, and things are, you're starting to get bothered a lot, you get disturbed, and you wonder what's wrong. So it says, we went back to our sponsor, said that perhaps we needed to do another 4th or 5th step, or 1, 2, and 3. We were feeling and acting very similar to ways we used to feel and act. What should we do? Or perhaps years in the program, things just have gone flat or worse. There doesn't seem to be an old spark. The meetings just aren't interesting. We've drifted into a numb place. That's a dangerous place, by the way, where they see little growth and little reason to change. And if you're that way, it's you who see little reason to change. So you can get in a, you can be sober and proud of that, but you're still angry and fearful, and you're not always honest, and you're intolerant, and you're judgmental, things bother you, you get disturbed a lot, you get upset, you're in conflict with a lot of people. So really, all that's happened is you're sober, but you're still in self. Now, you can work steps perfectly for years, but you can wake up every day and you can get back in the self. And you can get intolerant or judgmental. You can go to the food store, there's somebody in front of you with too many food stamps or coupons, and don't they know that you're so important you shouldn't have to wait for them? They should get out of your way. Anybody ever have that? I'm the only one. You know, things bother you that, and you get intolerant, and then you're disturbed. Can you explain why you aren't entirely ready, why we can't humbly ask, what's in the way? If our sponsor is a good one, perhaps he or she responds that maybe it isn't the fourth or fifth step that needs repeating, but it's time to take a real look at the sixth and seventh step. Rather than blaming the program, we do that. The program's not working. You know, I'm still getting upset. She's not any different. He's not any better. There's still people at work. They haven't changed. And the people in it for the flatness of our life, I wouldn't say flatness. I would say that you can get depressed. People can get depressed in sobriety. Things aren't going their way. Things aren't going the way they want. Maybe it's time to rejuvenate the growth process through a jumpstart of the six and seven steps, remembering that the program helps those who help themselves. The program works for those who understand it. Now, I wrote, the program works for those who do it. But if you don't understand six and seven and you haven't done a step one through five and understood the exact nature of your wrongs, then you can't do the rest of the program. And the big book, if you follow the instructions in the book, it's very simple how you do the fourth and fifth step. And then since six and seven only had two paragraphs, people thought you just said the prayer and that's that. But it was understood you do it all the time. Now, God won't do for me what I could do for myself. Have you heard that before? And if I won't let go of something, God's not going to take it away. So if I want to stay judging, I'm going to stay judging till I let go and say, I don't want to be judging this. I don't want to be intolerant right now. I don't want to be afraid right now. I don't want to be self-centered or irritable. And then God will take it away, but I have to let go of it. Now, one thing I realized is that you can't even see these things till you've worked the steps, till you've done four and five and you're with God. You can't even see what these character defects and how they're bothering you. You just know you're bothered. And so I've heard a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I hear people say, oh, I'm sober 10 years and I never read that book and I don't work the steps. Well, they don't have what I have. What I have is a constant seeing the world through my eyes and deciding what's good or bad and right or wrong. And I don't live that way anymore, but it's the way I was my self-centered thinking. Anybody else have that? And if you do, you know what I'm talking about. So you have to constantly look at your thinking and make sure it's God-centered. Am I being loved, patient, kind, and tolerant? Am I being selfish, dishonest, fearful, resentful, judgmental, you see? So here they're going to talk about principles versus character defects. And there's a really good, some good information here. So they asked Bill W., he's writing this. He was our founder, for those who don't know. And this was at a meeting a long time ago in the 40s. He left the members with the riddle. If the principles of the 12-step recovery are not the 12 steps, then what are the principles? I returned to the same meeting about a year later to present a sponsee with a medallion, and a few people approached me with the following comment. I've been looking all year since your talk in the literature for the principles and can't find them. My answers to these group members were the same I give my sponsees. The principles of the 12-step recovery are the opposite of our character defects. Now, they talk at step 7 about removing our shortcomings. Is that what it says? Our shortcomings, what are we short of? What is a shortcoming? A shortcoming means you're opposite of the character of God. You have too much of your character. If you're angry, you don't have love. If you're intolerant, you can't be tolerant. If you're inconsiderate, you can't be considerate. Now, the problem is you can't be, have your character defects and still have God's. You have one or the others. And so all day long, are you practicing love and tolerance, or are you being angry and judgmental or afraid? And so you don't want to be that way anymore because you don't like it. You don't feel good. So shortcomings are what you're short of God's character. In recovery, we try to take the opposite of our character defects and shortcomings and turn them into principles. I have a thing with my sponsees, LPTKCC. So I say, they say something's going on, I go, LPTKCC. They complain about the ex-wife, LPTKCC. I complain about, I can't mention on the tape, but she may listen. I have to go, LPTKCC. What does that mean? Love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate, compassion. People are just who they are. It's just the way it is. And so I stop and I want to see it differently. So we had to take the opposite of the character defects and turn them into principles. For example, you work to change, you're going to change fear into faith, hate into love, egoism into humility, anxiety and worry into serenity. Who wouldn't rather have serenity than anxiety and worry? So the sixth and seventh step is whether you have anxiety and worry, you're separated from God. You say, God, give me serenity. Help me change the way I see these things. Complacency in the action, denial into acceptance, jealousy into trust, fantasy into reality, selfishness into service, resentment into forgiveness, judgmentalism into tolerance, despair into hope, self-hate into self-respect. That's how you gain self-respect. Loneliness into fellowship. So what you could do is you could make a list of all the good qualities and you could put the opposite qualities and you could make your own spiritual checklist. And every morning I ask God to help me practice the characteristics of God. Help me be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassion. And it says on page 85, it says you must carry a vision of God's will into all your activities. So I must carry love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate, compassion to every activity. Now, how do I know when I'm not? I'm judging, I'm upset, they bother me, I'm afraid. You get it? And so I can only practice one to them. Now, if I bring God's vision and how I be into it, I'll get back. I say this all the time, it's so true. If I don't bring love into the situation, it's the only thing that's missing. I won't get anything love out of it. And so if there's any situation where I'm disturbed, it's because I'm not bringing love into it. Now, if you bring anger into a situation, what do you get? You get anger. If you bring fear into the situation, if you bring judgment, you get bad. And so we have to stop. And this is basically, if you're new, you're going to learn a way of living so that whenever you're disturbed, you can change the way you are. You don't have to be disturbed. Now, here's the key. I said something. It was actually profound. I didn't realize it. We change the way we are. We're not changing that, whatever's out there, or them. We change the way we are and see it, and then we deal with it in a positive way. So I don't have to be disturbed unless I want to. Isn't that a gift? All I wanted when I came in here was some peace. I didn't want more money or this or that. I had a few people I wanted executed. But you know, I've gotten over that. I did the fourth and fifth step. That was a joke, by the way. But usually when you come in here, it's all their fault, right? How did I get here? Look at this. You know, I was such a good guy and what a mess I made. But now I see it differently, you see. And so all I wanted was some peace and joy. And I can have peace and joy whenever I want it by doing six and seven. Now, I won't understand that till I've done 1 through 5. That's why I try to get people through steps 1 through 5. Not that by doing the fifth step you become a spiritual guru, but you know what's wrong with you, so you know what you need to change whenever you're disturbed. And so you can't do that till you've done those steps. So that you could use this as a vision of God's will in all your activities. You could pray on this. You could ask God to give you these things. And then during the day, when you're not practicing them, you can stop and say, God, help me practice the opposite. Those in recovery know that our true goal is progress, not perfection. As the Big Book tells us, we are not destined for sainthood, and we should not be discouraged when we cannot maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. I have a few thoughts on that. Why not perfection? The Oxford group that we took the steps from, they had the four absolutes. Absolute purity, unselfishness, honesty, and love. Well, the founders felt we couldn't handle any absolutes. So they kind of said progress, not perfection, but why not? Why not try to seek perfection? Why settle for less? Now, we're never going to get it, but why not seek it? The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles are guides to progress. We read that, don't we read that at meetings? Yeah, the principles are guides to progress. So if you're new and your life's a mess, we have principles. They could be the steps, or it could be the principles of God's character, or the guides to progress. And what are you progressing down? The path to God. So it's all in the book. It's all in the first 102 pages of this book. Also, the 12 and 12 states, AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which if practiced is a way of life. That's the key. You can't read them and recite them. You have to practice it as a way of life, can expel the obsession, the drink, and enable the sufferer to become happy and usefully whole. That's what we get out of AA. The obsession is relieved. So we're a recovered alcoholic. That's what it means to be a recovered alcoholic. The obsession's relieved. And you can be happy and usefully whole. Anybody want that? And it's a guaranteed if you do it. What exactly are these principles and where did they come from? And then they show this list where somebody made these principles of the 12 steps, and they're all good. But the principles are really the opposite of your self-centered character. It's God's character. And if we practice God's character, our actions will reflect that, right? And then we'll have love and tolerance, and we'll treat others, love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody ever heard that before? Somewhere in a book. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. You'll be the good Samaritan. And your life will change. It doesn't mean your circumstances will change. It means the way you react to things will change. In this book, we and all those who have assisted us will attempt to take a real look at the 6 and 7 steps. We must learn to take intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge is good, but we need to turn it into emotional, spiritual reality. So you see, self-knowledge or knowledge of the book won't help unless you can practice and turn it into spiritual reality, into living. So we can continue to change and grow and be useful. We have to continue to change. Because remember, alcohol is cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us. Alcohol is waiting. We have a daily reprieve from our alcoholism based upon what? A fit spiritual condition. And when we're fit spiritually, we're connected to God. We're practicing His character. So to become the person we can become, and who's the only person that can keep you from becoming the person that God created? You. You don't want to do it. You don't want to let go. You don't want to do steps 1 through 5. You don't want to do 6 and 7. And then I'll tell you, it takes more work not to do them and live than it does to do them and live. But some people never realize that. It says we must drop the rock. What is the rock? The rock is all your old ideas, everything you think you know, everything you think is true. We practice character defects that we didn't even realize. We thought they were okay, right? We didn't know that. It says this is in dark writing, so it's important. All the grasping and holding on to old patterns of behaving, thinking, and feeling that are harmful to ourselves and others. We hold on to these things. Why? When you do 4 and 5, you see how you created all of this from what you held on. You had wrong judgment, which is resentment, wrong belief, which is fear. You had harmful actions. Anybody hurt people? And why? Because we held on to this old way of behaving and thinking. It doesn't do us any good. So why do we keep holding on to old ideas? Because it's comfortable. Because we don't really want to change. We're scared of letting go. And that's the person God made versus the person I made. Now remember, it was my rock. I have to drop my rock. I created it. God didn't give me the rock. I made it up. And guess what? I'm still dropping the rock. Each day I see other things that I'm wrong about. This famous AA speaker said every day he wants to wake up and he says to God, what else am I going to find I'm wrong about today? It's great to see when you're wrong, you can let go of it. You don't want to practice wrong things. And he said the process, and it's very simple, is uncovering. You're going to uncover, you're going to discover and discard all those things that are blocking you from God all day long. And it's going to be different things each day. And it could be judgment today and fear tomorrow. It could be dishonesty the next day, and then it could be judgment again. They keep coming back. And you just, yeah, you just see where you're wrong. The focus must be moving towards completion rather than away from unpleasant and uncomfortable habits and actions. But what they're really saying here is the completion. You're only complete when you're with God. And you're not complete when you're separated from God. And the whole AA program is about conscious contact with your Creator that gives you direction of your life. And how do you get conscious separation from your Creator? Do you like buy a book or you do eat something? You consciously separate from God in your head. And you decide, based on your old ideas, how the world should be and how things should go. And the only way you're going to be happy is if you're in conscious contact with God. And as you work the steps and you live the steps and you stay in this process over years, you don't like being disturbed. And you can recognize very quickly when you're separated and you get back to God. In the beginning, if you're new, you may say, well, what the hell is he talking about? Is he ever going to shut up? But it is the deal. Conscious contact with God versus conscious separation. And I'm the only one who can separate from God. I gave you guys the card. The card at the bottom is the world of the spirit, the circle. When we come in here, we're in the world I created with all my old ideas. And by working the steps, I go into the world, the real world where God is, and he's the center of my life. It says on page 84, when you're in step 10, you've entered the world of the spirit. Well, what does that mean? Where was that world? Well, the world was always there, but I lived in my self-centered world. And so I was running the show. Everybody else in the world was over here, but I was over here running the show and figuring out how everybody should be. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm over here, things don't go well, and I don't feel good. Now, you can work the steps and go to a lot of meetings and be sober for 20 years, and you could still wake up each day, and you could separate and go out here. And steps 10 and 11 is how you get back in here with God on the beam all day long. And it's a continuous program of recovery. But if you're new, you don't have any tools to know how to do that. So that's why I say get in the steps, get in the book. Get through 1 through 5 as quick as you can. Start living 6 and 7. Start on your amends. Live in pages 84 to 88, which is 10 and 11. It says, through the actions of steps 6 and 7, I can transform my life and relationships. And I wrote, take intellectual knowledge into spiritual reality. Continue to grow. Continue to be useful. That's why studying the book and self-knowledge won't change you. It's the actions of the steps that change you spiritually. And then I wrote, more is always being revealed, right? So I'll just read the beginning of step 6, and then we'll pick this up next week. Has this been helpful? It says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Entirely ready. At the beginning of the discussion, the 6th step in the 12 and cells, 12, it says in a rather sexist way that this is the step that separates the men from the boys, or the women from the girls, I guess. This is the key step. Becoming entirely ready, moving into total willingness, is hard. Now remember, willingness is essential to recover. Willingness is essential to build the arch to freedom. It's the foundation of the arch. Now, what makes you willing when you come in here? Pain, suffering, your life's a mess. You can't stop using and drinking. You're in conflict with everybody and everyone. You don't feel good. And then that total willingness takes you through the steps. And then you get to 6 and 7. Now you got to be totally willing again to get rid of all your defects of character. And it's hard. It requires great effort and awareness. Now, I'll tell you what makes you totally willing to get rid of your character defects. When you keep getting bothered by them. You keep getting disturbed. You keep getting unhappy all day. You're judging everybody. You're in conflict. You're afraid. You don't feel good. And so once you realize that there's a way to change, you're totally willing. And some days you're more willing than others. Step 11 has the inventory at night, and that looks how well you did each day. Were you totally willing? What did you hold on to? What did you not let go? It requires a great effort in awareness, and they left out a line of powerlessness. And when it says, become entirely ready, moving into totally willingness is hard, I wrote, it means ego deflation at depth, destruction of self-centeredness. You don't want to be blocked. You don't want to be unhappy anymore. You don't want to be disturbed. And these defects of character are blocking me from serenity. They're keeping me in turmoil. So if you're sober a while and things haven't changed, you need to work the steps and you need to do 6 and 7 all the time. And he wrote, becoming and moving. You become ready and then you move into willingness. You see, it's action. And it requires great effort and awareness. This is not simple to do. But step 6 really requires me to stop struggling. Struggling with what? With myself, the world. And in step 3, it says we're in conflict with everybody and everything. Why? Because we're running the show. I want to stop struggling. I want to stop running my life. It's time to acknowledge that I need help. Not only help to stop my addiction, but help in living a better life. And if you don't have a better life, you're going to use the drink again. Having gone through steps 4 and 5, we become aware of our defects of character. Perhaps pride and thoughts of superiority are blocking the way to serenity. Anybody agree with that? Pride and thoughts of superiority are blocking the way to serenity. And pride, the sin of pride they're talking about, the quality of having an excessively high opinion of yourself and your importance. Anybody have that when they come in? Guess what? You could still have it. You could be sober 25 years and still have pride come up. And you know, because then you're judging and you're not happy with the way people are treating you. Thoughts of superiority are blocking the way to serenity. Or it may be the habit of judging others. Are there any people that judge in here? Am I the only one? I was very good at it. I still can be. I went to the meeting today and I could see everything wrong with everybody in the room. And after 5 seconds, I said, well, you know, we're all God's kids and I love them all. And let's move on, Michael. Perhaps it's you have to just do that. Perhaps it's a deep resentment, envy, or self-pity that keeps us in turmoil. So are you willing to let go of these things? And then I'll finish with this. It's good to read step 6 over and over. It's brief and to the point. All it requires is becoming ready to become willing. Willingness is the key to everything. You're not going to change till you're willing to change. And then you have to believe you can change. And then you decide to change, and then you take the actions to change. So 6 and 7, I'm willing to change. I believe with God's help I can change my character. I decide I want to change my character. And then all day long I take actions to change my character. And guess what? It's changed. It's better. And then I have faith that God can do it. And then the next day I try to do it again. Now some days I don't do it so well. Some days I stay disturbed for a while before I become willing. It says we can work on our attitude of mind and pray about it. We can think it over and see that our lives have become more trouble-free when we rid ourselves of destructive habits. How's that? And God makes it possible. I want to stop right there. If you come back next week, can you try to bring a handout? If you don't, I always make more. And so I hope this was helpful. It's powerful stuff. Thank you.